good conversation unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from Chicago and the Democratic National Convention, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, even when we're in Chicago, and brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to be here. Nice to have you here at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, August 22nd. And coming up this hour, we're going to hear some more Wisconsin voices from the Democratic National Convention, a nice little roster of folks that we've talked to about things like, Milwaukee infrastructure, the 3rd Congressional District race in Western Wisconsin, the state of education, and the presidential race impact on education in Wisconsin. That's all coming up at the bottom of this hour. We'll also have meteorologist Brittany Merlot here in just a sec, and Luke Mathers will be joining us on this Thursday morning as well. As always, a reminder that you can sign up for our daily newsletter at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, that Christina Laurie puts together for us every morning. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, we hasten to add, and then we hasten to add beyond that, we love them. We love being in partnership because it lets me work with people like Greg Bach every day and Brittany Merlot every day, and this is cool. And we get to hear from Rob every day in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton, Brittany. It's sunny and a fall-like 51 degrees. Yesterday was another perfect day. I mowed 5 yards in Tigerton. I got 4 more yards to do today. I mowed 15 yards total in the Tigerton and Wittenberg areas. I had a meatball sub from the Tigerton grocery store for lunch. It was excellent. And I'm helping to get Tigerton cleaned up for Tigerton Lumberjack Days this weekend.
Ooh, lumberjack days.
Yeah,
I love it.
Remember, you have a standing invitation if your schedule allows to swing by.
I don't
know if it'll be a meatball sub or what, but you're going to get something good out there if you stop in.
That's true. I've done some lumberjack competitions before, actually.
Of course you have.
What?
I know,
what?
Right?
What?
I've log rolled. I've boom run. Where you run across the logs that are all tied together.
Okay.
And I've also just like competed where you have to saw it and chop it and run with some wood and do all these different things. But took second place.
Hey, there you go.
Lumber Jill,
good on you. Well, now I've got to tell the story of my congressional campaign commercial. So everybody who wants the weather, you just stand pat for just a second. So it's 2012. I'm running against Sean Duffy, who's, of course, known for being this lumberjack, blah, blah, blah. And so we thought we'd have a little fun mocking that. And so we set up a TV commercial shoot up on a lake at somebody's cabin and set up the log, and you get the camera crew all set up and everything. And I really got to look at behind the scenes, like high level commercial production. This company comes in, they want your measurements. They want you to look just so in this. And so I get to this cabin that somebody was nice enough to let us use. And in the guest room, laid out there on the bed, are 5 identical sets of clothes, with the flannel shirt and the pants and whatnot, because they knew I was not going to get that log roll right the first time, and I was going to take a dive, and I did. But I'm happy to say I only had to go in and change clothes one time.
Ooh.
And then on the second go around, did just well enough to, roll. You're supposed to roll a couple of times and then fall in, which any of us would do. And I managed to do that on take 2. So I don't think I would have gotten second place in the lumberjack competition, but I didn't need 5 takes. So I got that going for me, right?
I'm proud of you. Hey, I think if you had a little practice, you could have taken first place in a lumberjack competition.
I had no desire to do that any further. That was the end of it. What would it be like today if one were to fall off a log into the lake? It's a little chilly this morning again.
It is a little crisp out there. Temperatures ranging from about 41 degrees to 65 degrees to start the day off. A lot of sunshine to start, but we will see clouds increasing, especially into northwest Wisconsin this afternoon, and then throughout the northern part of the state. If you live south, you're good to go. Otherwise, temperatures today rising to the mid-70s statewide. We're all going to be feeling the same high temperature, very comfortable, nice dry air mass still here in place. But we do have chances for some scattered showers for northwest Wisconsin this afternoon, becoming more likely overnight and through tomorrow morning. Then, of course, all of that rain chance shifts to the southern part of the state tomorrow as well, and then into Saturday morning. not for the south. I mean, for the south, not for the north. So we've just got a little system moving in. That's, of course, as the hot and humid air makes its way here for the weekend.
Hot, humid. How long do we think that's going to last?
At least through Tuesday, it looks like at the moment. So okay. Saturday
All right.
through Tuesday.
Prepare to do some schvitzing, basically. But we can do that. We don't normally go over fashion choice as much, being a radio show and everything. But occasionally we mention that Greg Bach is once again representing the Brewers very well, as he often does. But I have to ask today, because Brittany's got a hoodie on and it says across the front, "I am the storm."
Yes.
And I gotta know the context of that. Or isn't there one?
I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I'm the storm sometimes, right? I'm a natural disaster myself.
We didn't say natural disaster, but
that's where it came from. That's why I had to buy it. I just saw this online and I was like, yes, I am the storm.
I mean, I figured it was just because you're a storm chaser too.
Well, I wondered, like, does it say chaser, you know, or whatever? Nope, she is the storm.
Just the storm.
This is how weather people get those funny nicknames. You know, hey, Storm Merlot is with us. No, Stormy.
No. That name's gone for good. That name is gone
that's true.
Forever.
Oh, sorry. I needed a half a second there. I'm caught up now. I'm good. All right. Brittany, not Stormy. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
You too, thanks.
All right. It's 7:12 right now. Let's continue our discussion and our coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in just a bit. But first, just a couple of other quick notes. One is that there are reports that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on the verge of dropping out of the presidential campaign and endorsing Donald Trump, to which I have a very simple response. Yeah. Everything about him has been in line with Trump and seemed intentionally designed to be a spoiler to Joe Biden. And that role is just not there for him anymore. So I say that because that's about all the coverage you need of this. It just needs to be brief, not breathless, not long and continuing. He was never going to win the presidency. It was always as a spoiler. So I hope people don't go overboard with one more guy dropping out of the race. People drop out of presidential races all the time. And this one is not that much different. Another story to pass along is that you will not find absentee ballot drop boxes in Brookfield. The Common Council there voted on Tuesday night. Brookfield becomes now the second community in Waukesha County, along with New Berlin, to vote against providing locked drop boxes for voters. You have to recall that when the Wisconsin Supreme Court's new progressive majority reversed a ban on drop boxes that the old conservative majority had put in place only after Donald Trump complained about drop boxes, the progressive majority put it back in place to use drop boxes, but did not mandate them. They left it up to local units of government to decide whether to offer the service, or they could decide instead to give in to propaganda and political games. You know, these communities had offered up drop boxes before because they benefit voters of all political stripes. Republicans use them. Democrats use them. Independents use them. They're a convenience for eligible voters. There has never been a discernible, widespread problem with drop boxes. And so for a community to say, well, we don't want that, and they hide behind certain things like rules and costs and things, but they didn't have any problem offering it before. And it's entirely political motivation to say, we would rather side with the untrue claims of a politician that we love rather than providing a service to our constituents. Down the road at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Greg, I think we got the final count on just how many people were at the rally for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz at the same time that the Democratic Convention roll call was going on in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Did they hit 18,000?
They hit 18,000. Yep. So
that is remarkable.
So you had 18,000 in Milwaukee and 21,000 in Chicago.
That is, again, for somebody like Donald Trump, who can't stop fixating on crowd size, to find out that there were, 41,000 people at once in two venues, including the one you had for your own Republican convention,
yeah,
is really impressive. And as Joe Zepecki said in our last hour, you know, what advice are you going to give? The advice is keep going. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep politicking with a sense that politics can be a positive force for good in the world. Pete Buttigieg talked all about that in his remarks last night, talking about how as a gay man who wanted to start a family, this is something that could not and would not have happened still in this country if it hadn't been for politics working for the good and to be more inclusive. Here's a little of what Pete Buttigieg had to say.
And yet the makeup of our kitchen table, the existence of my family, is just one example of something that was literally impossible. As recently as 25 years ago, when an anxious teenager growing up in Indiana wondered if he would ever find belonging in this world. This kind of life went from impossible to possible, from possible to real, from real to almost ordinary in less than half a lifetime. But that didn't just happen. It was brought about through idealism and courage, through organizing and persuasion and storytelling, and yes, through politics, the right kind of politics, the kind of politics that can make an impossible dream into an everyday reality.
And it is. That's the everyday reality now of Pete Buttigieg's family, that he can have a family, that he can have a full life, that so many other families are made possible, whether it's through a change in laws and norms like that, or through IVF for people who wanted to have children, or biracial families. The advances in the pursuit of happiness have been so incredibly noteworthy. And we will play more clips from the convention coming up right after a break. First, I want to tell you that the Brewers, Devin Williams, had a bit of an implosion, a couple of bases loaded walks, followed by the St. Louis Cardinals getting a grand slam in the bottom of the 10th inning to beat the Brewers 10-6. They will have the third and final game of that series coming up this afternoon, and you can catch that on Civic Media radio stations in several different communities across Wisconsin. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. We'll have more of our program next. You're up north. Okay. Welcome to the club. Dua Lipa playing for us now. She turns 29 years old today. You can catch all the birthdays and notes from history coming up every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Talking more about the Democratic Convention and some of the remarks last night, and we do have much more coming up from some of the Wisconsin delegates that were in attendance. We'll have that for you in just about 15 minutes or so. But as we go back to some of the primetime speakers, I want to highlight next Maryland Governor Wes Moore, who, again, is not a household name yet, but again, in 4 or 8 years, depending on how things go this November, he is somebody that you may be hearing more about. And again, delivered remarks last night about the art of the possible and talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge in the Baltimore Harbor there, where six immigrants were killed. They were working on a road crew at the time. And here's a little bit of what he had to say, and then I want to say more about Wes Moore's remarks at the convention from last night.
And I'm asking that you join us in the work. Because making America great doesn't mean telling people you're not wanted. And loving your country does not mean lying about its history.
Right there in 18 seconds, you get the whole range of what Donald Trump's campaign is about. It's about excluding certain people, telling immigrants that they're not worthy, they're not wanted. And you also have you touch on the controversies about teaching a comprehensive view of American history, warts and all. It's only in a full teaching of history that we can grow as a nation and try again to live up to all of our promises, even the ones that we haven't kept fully yet. On immigration, you heard Democrats going on offense, and rightly so, because again, there was a bipartisan bill that had been worked out, and Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone killed it. And Westmore cited the six immigrants who lost their lives in the collapse of that bridge. Workers, he said, quote, who fixed potholes on a bridge while we slept, who were born in a different country, but who knew that America was big enough for them too. So I would expect to hear more from Westmore, whether it's in a Harris-Walz administration or beyond. Now, there was obviously a lot of forward rhetoric from candidates. You know, they're really talking about passing the metaphorical torch to a new generation. But you can't have a political convention without some of the classics. And when you think of the classics, you think of Bill Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and others. And Bill Clinton did speak last night. And Greg, I'm going to be honest, the reason I didn't give you a clip to play is, in true Bill Clinton fashion, I couldn't find one that wasn't the stem winder, and we risked losing the audience at some point, because that's how Bill rolls.
Yeah, he does. He comes, the ovation's always like, oh my God, it's Bill Clinton. And then he starts talking like, oh my gosh, he knows so much. And then around like minute 78, you're like, I gotta go overtime to this babysitter later. Oh my goodness gracious.
And look, if you are in that room, by and large, you're a fan. You're okay letting them go. Although I'm sure a few folks were like, I really gotta get to the restroom here, you know. But again, Bill Clinton will give you historical perspective on things. He talked about job creation under Democratic presidents versus Republican presidents, and more. But then you also had Nancy Pelosi giving remarks, and giving remarks as part of a segment where they again played back so much of the footage from January 6th, 2021. Nancy Pelosi's remarks and the video and hearing from a retired Capitol Police officer served a genuine purpose to remind certain Americans that January 6th was real. It did happen. And it was that bad. Because it came during, you know, in the aftermath of the 2020 election and the pandemic and everything, you hear this term a lot, memory hole. It feels like we've memory holed a lot of things because it is just too much to wrap our heads around that more than 1 million Americans died in the pandemic. And then at the same time, you had a bumbling president who botched the response because he was busy conspiring in a way to cheat during the election. And when the courts wouldn't back him up on it, summoned a mob to the Capitol and used rhetoric that helped inflame passions and lead to violence, deadly violence. And watching that again last night, watching a literal attack on the American government by fellow Americans, it still staggers the mind. Not only that Donald Trump has not yet been held accountable for all that he did leading up to that day, but that he is still the standard bearer of a major political party and enjoys support as broad as it is. It's not 50% of Americans. It's certainly not more than 50% of Americans. It never has been. He won just enough votes, or you could say just enough people stayed home in 2016 in just a few key states to enable him to be in that Oval Office for 4 years, doing all the terrible things that he did. But the fact that he is still a leading candidate with somewhere approaching 50% of public support, according to polls, is again a reminder to everybody in that convention hall, and you're going to hear that in some of the Wisconsin voices coming up in just a moment, that there is no time for overconfidence. There is a bit of a celebration here in Chicago right now. There's relief that there has been a transition from Biden to Harris that has gone smoothly. But the real work lies ahead in talking to voters, not the ones who are as fully devoted to Trump as it gets, but the moderate voters who need to hear from their friends and neighbors. But they also need to hear from a guy like Tim Walz, a real person. Grew up on a farm, served in the military, was a teacher before running for Congress, and who had a very simple message that I know a lot of you have heard before, but I wanted to play it one more time because it really strikes a chord with independent, moderate people across America about government should be there to serve and not to micromanage your life. Or here's how he put it.
We also protected reproductive freedom because in Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and the personal choices they make. And even if we wouldn't make those same choices for ourselves, we've got a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
And that's all that people are looking for in terms of their individual rights and freedoms. It's why freedom has become such a thing for the Harris-Walz campaign, to which I know some people would say, well, wait a minute, you're saying that they're, you know, shouldn't business have freedom as well and all that? Why are you talking about that? Because people aren't price gouging. That's something that's happening at the business level. You need to work on monopoly power, environmental rules, employment rules. Those are the things government should be doing writ large for the American population and staying out of their bedrooms and out of their exam rooms. Well, here's some more of those Wisconsin voices from the convention coming up next from Chicago here on Up North News Radio. I gotta check with our friends at Motherhood for Good. I think we might have another alternative theme for Women Win Wisconsin on Thursday mornings here from Keb Mo.
I love this song. I love them both. They just, oh, yes. And I love the yes, song.
Yes, Roseanne Cash being a part of this as well. So Kate from Motherhood for Good, she is here in Chicago as well, and she's absolutely killing it with the interviews that she's doing. Look for that over at the Motherhood for Good Instagram page or head over to motherhoodforgood.com. But because she's busy doing that thing at the convention and I'm busy doing my thing here at the convention, in place of our regular Women Win Wisconsin segment, we're going to hear from a couple of women as part of the Wisconsin delegation and more voices coming up. First, a quick reminder that you can sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Among the stories today, what can you do to help Wisconsin get out the vote? There are multiple ways that you can volunteer to help make sure that people either remember to vote or vote for the first time. Get registered, get signed up. So head over to our newsletter there, as well as a story about farmers markets. I hate to say it, but you know, the end of the season isn't that terribly far away. And so Christina Lurie has a story on some farmers markets and vendors to visit before the summer ends. And she included, I think, just to play with my head here, included a photo of the spicy cheese bread that you can get at the Dane County Farmers Market that I love so much. And I should just have that shipped here regularly to the house on a weekly basis. And then I will be 400 pounds, but I will be happy. You know? So head to the farmers markets, learn more in our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. All right. Some of the voices from the convention. Let's get to these. We have quite a bit of them here. First off, here is Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer talking a bit about, again, the enthusiasm at the convention, but also some of the key assembly races that she's working on. Here's Greta Neubauer.
So Wisconsin has always been important, and Wisconsin continues to be incredibly important. I think people across the state understand that they could decide an important legislative race that helps determine the majority in the assembly, perhaps a congressional, Tammy Baldwin, and then of course Kamala Harris's race. We are incredibly lucky in Wisconsin to be able to participate in so many important elections, and we have a huge responsibility because these races are probably going to be very close.
Tell us about some of the key assembly races and how things seem, you know, since the time that Kamala Harris became the presumptive nominee.
Absolutely. So, of course, we have a number of seats to flip this year, a couple that I will highlight that are right around that 50% mark. We've got Yiling Zhang running in Wausau. This is the 85th district. He is an incredible candidate. He has been in office since he was a teenager, and he would be our first Hmong representative. People in Wausau love Yi. They are so excited for him to represent them and have someone who really shares their values in the assembly. We've got Christy Welch running in Green Bay. She's here at the convention as a delegate. Christy comes from a manufacturing background. She is working so hard. She is knocking on a ton of doors, and we are really excited for her to represent areas of Brown County. And then who else will I mention? I'll mention Allison Page. Allison is running in Hudson. And she is a former nurse and a healthcare professional, school board member. Allison is just a fantastic candidate. And we are so excited to have these folks stepping up who are ready to govern, who want to be part of this historic moment in Wisconsin.
What are these, getting away from the presidential for a second, what is the message coming from Assembly Democratic candidates when it comes to economic issues and affording, you know, day-to-day life?
Absolutely. We know that many families in Wisconsin are having a difficult time making ends meet, and it is our job to do something about that. While Assembly Democrats tried to lower the cost of prescription drugs and childcare, while we looked at real solutions to housing challenges and wanted to pass a tax cut that was actually focused on the middle class, Republicans really refused to engage with us on those issues. They wanted to pass tax cuts that benefited the wealthiest Wisconsinites, and they just simply are not willing to get to work for the people of this state.
Last one will be about the constitutional amendments that went down, and you had Robin Voss and others essentially saying, well, we're going to double down and keep going that avenue. Is your message kind of like, you know, good luck with that?
Yes. So Robin Voss has made clear that he would like to do constitutional amendments on two things. One is an abortion ban, and the second is enshrining voter ID into state law. Robin Voss will do everything he can to restrict the rights and freedoms of people of our state and to consolidate his own power. And we have seen that time and again, and he is saying that that's his plan moving forward. If we send him back with a majority in the assembly, we know exactly what he will do. It's time for us to move in a new direction. And the people of Wisconsin made really clear on primary day this August that they are tired of Republican power grabs and that they actually want people who are doing the work for the people of our state.
Greta Neubauer, thank you very much.
Thanks for
Appreciate
having me.
It. With Deb McGrath. She was one of the candidates for the 3rd Congressional District seat in Western and Central Wisconsin. Now at the convention is talking about a unified Democratic Party behind Rebecca Cook, trying to take out Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden.
Well, the path to victory runs through the 3rd, and we've always known that, but now we're proving it to everybody. I think that when you look at the elections, the past couple of elections, we've had increased voter registration, increased turnout, increased attention to the issues. When you look at infrastructure investments and everything else, we're really showing that we care about everyone in Wisconsin, but that the 3rd is a place where we can showcase what's happening in the nation.
You know, I talked to William Garcia at the rally in Eau Claire and said, are you going to be the chief butt kicker for anybody that's not doing their part coming out of this primary to make sure that it's an all hands on deck situation? Do you feel like the 3rd District Democrats are coming together that way?
Oh, yes, Pat. We've always been, Speaker Pelosi, former Speaker Pelosi, just talked about owning the ground and working that, and really, so we have a strategy for getting out to voters and talking with them, meeting them with the issues where they are. And that is really up and down the ballot, being able to talk about not party, but just think about who are the people that are really making making a difference for you in your life. And those are the people you need to vote for. Because I know we're in a purple place, but we've got to meet people where they are. And we have been doing tours. We've been meeting people where they are, making calls. So we're on fire.
What does the energy that comes with a Harris-Walz ticket do to change the dynamic reaching voters in the third?
Well, that was a game changer. It really was. I think all of us can say that immediately we saw more, because we had our Dunn County Fair just within days. That was, you know, just 4 days after that announcement. And we just saw such a boost in volunteerism, donations, activity, people walking, marching, and showing flags or at bridges, and people who'd never docked doors before saying that they wanted to.
It may sound, you know, superficial that just because a farmer is on the ticket that that's going to make a difference, but it really does have some significance for the 3rd District to have Tim Walz on that ticket, doesn't it?
Oh, it's true. And right, that he gets us. I mean, he really absolutely understands our concerns about health care, our concerns about family farms, and education. And immigration. Some of the biggest issues are their issues. And so we're very proud of Tim Walz, Governor Walz, Coach Walz.
What kind of a difference is it going to make on the immigration issue when you have, you know, Republicans have been giving the same anti-immigrant stance all this time? In an agricultural district like the 3rd CD, shouldn't there be a different take on the immigration issue about reforming it, something that Derek Van Orden so far does not seem to have embraced?
That, you know, I've been talking about this for years, and because I have personal experience with it. Having served abroad, I would see people lined up in the darkness to come here legally to do work that we need to do. And what we need to do is have better immigration policy. We need to pass legislation, and Republicans won't do it. They're just calling immigration a dirty word and vilifying people who, we're all immigrants too. And people say, well, that was then. No, it's now. And our industries depend on sound immigration policy. So this is on us, but it is on Republican Party to come together to get sound immigration policy.
And then finally, talk about the difference between spending versus investments, because again, Republicans have talked a lot about spending over the past 4 years, but what have those investments really done for the 3rd District?
Well, my dad, Al Baldus, used to say, you want someone to you know, be able to feed their family, teach someone how to fish, right? Now that goes back to that same thought of when you give someone the ability to invest in their own businesses, their own communities, that's what makes us thrive. Investments in education and all of these things that we need to grow our next generation. So it's instead of just spending and you give people the chance to get up on their feet again, that's investment.
In the 3rd Congressional District. Now let's move to the southeastern part of the state, where when you talk about women winning Wisconsin, it's not just the candidates. Sometimes it's the activists, the people who see an issue and will not let elected officials forget about it. That's definitely Deanna Branch in Milwaukee. And she spoke to the convention last night about her work to get rid of lead lines, lead water pipes in Milwaukee, and also Rashawn Spivey from Hero Plumbing, who's helping get rid of those pipes thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law.
My name is Deanna Branch, and I'm an advocate and mom from Milwaukee. When my son, Aiden, was 2, he was hospitalized due to high levels of lead in his blood. Lead was everywhere in our pipes, in our paint, and in our soil. President Biden and Vice President Harris passed the bipartisan infrastructure law. It's removing lead pipes from communities like ours. As president, Kamala Harris will make sure everyone can drink clean water and be, in Aiden's words, lead-free superheroes.
My name is Rashawn Spivey, the owner of Hero Plumbing in Milwaukee. When President Biden and Vice President Harris announced their goal to replace every lead pipe in America, Hero stepped up to help make that vision a reality. We went to work. replacing lead pipes that served homes and childcare communities or childcare centers in our communities. Since then, we've replaced more than 1,000 pipes. That was made possible thanks to Vice President Kamala Harris. And when she visited Milwaukee 2 years ago, I got to show her our work up close. Because of her leadership, I've grown my business and helped kids like Aiden have safer, healthier lives.
There were also remarks at the convention from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, another benefit of the bipartisan infrastructure law.
In Wisconsin, keeping promises is important. So is making amends for your mistakes. One of those mistakes happened 60 years ago in a neighborhood called Bronzeville, brimming with black music, black culture, and entrepreneurship. And then came urban renewal and the construction of Interstates 94 and 43, ripping our communities apart. Sixth Street was widened and people of color were displaced. Homes destroyed, businesses shuttered, all for a quicker commute. Under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, we're bringing Bronzeville back. With more green space, bike paths, and walkable streets to serve people who actually live there, the music is coming back, the culture is coming back, and thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, the opportunities are coming back.
Coming back to a neighborhood, by the way, when he said some houses were razed, yeah, more than 8,000 houses were torn down to build I-43. And by the way, back to the lead pipes, I just want to add parenthetically, because it's been fact-checked, and in case there was any doubt, Republicans in the legislature had repeatedly removed money from the proposed state budget by Governor Evers to get rid of lead water pipes because they said too much of that money would go to Milwaukee and Milwaukee's children. Think about that for a bit. Luke Mathers is next. You're up north.
She said, "Where you been?" So I thought real hard and said, "I fell asleep in that hammock in the yard." She said, "You don't know it, boy, but you just blew it." And I said, "Well, that's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's my story."
Colin Ray, again, the singer, not the Brewers pitcher, having a birthday today as Luke Mathers joins us as we continue live from Chicago here. Mr. Mathers back at the home base trying to keep an eye on all the irons that are in the fire. Mr. Mathers, how have things been this week? Are you pretty good, Pat? In other words, are you as tired as Mr. Bach and Mr. Kreitlow are?
Again, it goes back to the Hulk thing where his secret is that he's always angry. My secret is that I'm always tired. You never get overly tired on a busy week like this if you're always tired. Come on.
That is exactly what the town drunk will say. Well, I can't get drunk if I'm always drunk. It's just if I'm always at the bottom.
I think that's a silly question to ask the very handsome and very capable Luke Mathers.
Yeah, you're right. I'm so sorry.
I'm gonna give proof because I get into the studio very early in the morning. Like I'm the first one in WAUK, but I can count on Luke to be up as well. If I have problems going on here or there's something over the air, he's awake. So asking him if he's tired, just assume he's tired because he's up with all of us, if not earlier. So I'm just putting that out there in the world.
I don't doubt that for a moment, but I continue to be scarred by one of my very first interactions with him. And it was one of the first times I was showing up at the old Madison studio at like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was locked and I couldn't get into the lock box where the key was. And so he, of course, was my first call. And the phone rang and rang and it went to voicemail. And then I tried somebody else and it rang and rang and it went to voicemail. And I'd never heard somebody so apologetic when Luke says the one time that he had his ringer off, or I forget if that or a software update, whatever it was. And you felt just terrible. And I'm like, well, you know, what are the odds it would happen the one time somebody's locked out of the building at 4:35 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, I believe I was apologizing on behalf of somebody else because the key that was supposed to be in the lockbox, and I did feel terrible that I did not answer the call, but I also believe
Somebody else was supposed to be on my first call? Yes, that could have been the case.
No, even had I answered, I don't know if I could have saved you because that key was missing, I believe, that morning, if I recall correctly. But yeah, that was it happens still sometimes those early mornings where I'm not always there to answer the call. But for the most part, I'm batting about 997 if you count that one, I guess.
Okay, no, that's
better
totally
than Babe Ruth.
It sure is. But especially this week where, you know, I mean, usually Mr. I got to be asleep by about nine, you know, has been up past 11, you know, every night this week. And those phone alarms are a godsend. And, you know, what is the biggest paranoia is that, you know, the one time you forget to set that alarm is the one time that you'll sleep through it. Everybody does it. I haven't yet on this shift. I can guarantee it's going to happen sometime because it happens to everybody. Though I did have a buddy who he worked the overnight shift for a radio station, and it was a three strike situation. The third time that he fell asleep on air, you know, the music just runs out, you know. And I know this because at that time I was living with my dad. He had a wood stove. I was in college, and I had the task of doing the 3 a.m. wake up, put some more wood in the stove. And I thought, well, that's fine. I'll listen to my buddy. He's on the radio. And I just recall one time turning on, hearing dead air, and realizing that was going to be the third strike.
Yep. That story sounds like you were alive at the dawn of radio. Like I had to wake him at 3 a.m. and chop the wood and put it in the wood stove. Pappy got up, went to the coal mine. It was my job to listen to the overnight for the weather.
You know, that's actually not far off. It's not far off. When I think of some of my other duties at some of those small radio stations very early on, yeah, that tracks. That really does track.
How has your experience been in Chicago, Pat? Yeah. You enjoying the Windy City for the convention?
It's definitely a case of I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad for the experience. But if option A is to be a delegate and be able to go to like these parties and be on the convention floor and be part of all the excitement, or being a working journalist and I'm spending way too much time cooped up in this hotel room, in this hotel, like I said on Monday, that was built 20 years before the Titanic, look it up. I'd rather go with option A, but option B is not a bad gig. This is still a great experience. I haven't heard anything about how the other civic media folks who are in their own little Airbnb are doing this week. And I'm hoping there's cameras rolling because that just sounds like reality show fodder right there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Well, we've got plenty of cameras down there, so I wouldn't be shocked if there was some picking up some of the behind the scenes footage of the fun and antics going on. But yeah, this only happens once every 4 years. Like these conventions are kind of more or less,
and to get both of them in our backyard here.
It's a summer that I don't believe we're going to have anything like this again, where you could have the coverage of the Republican National Convention in Wisconsin, and then a month later have the Democratic nominee accept her party's nomination in that same convention site because they decided to pack back-to-back arenas on Tuesday evening. So it's a pretty wild time. This is, I equate it, my wife very much likes watching the Olympics. And I was like, this is essentially the political Olympics because it only happens every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so she's not necessarily always thrilled to be hearing all the speeches and the going ons and stuff kind of around the clock this weeks like this. But it does only happen every 4 years with the presidential cycle. And it's a pretty exciting time for everybody that's down there on the ground for the entire network to get the opportunity to cover it like this.
Well, and everybody has to be very nimble. And I want to apologize on air to Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. I ran into him yesterday and he says, hey, can you be one of my guests, you know, for our evening special reports? And I just kind of, I looked very tired. I'm sure I'm like, Terry, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be at 7 o'clock on any given night. At this point, I am not
at his rally. Oh man,
I am not a reliable person right now. Just cranking out what I can crank out. But we've talked to so many people, and I think this will go on well into next week. Is just hearing from people about the issues, about the speakers that they saw, the very much the generational change. So I hope it was as enjoyable for the listeners and for Luke, somebody like you that's got to coordinate all this, as it's been for us.
Well, and we got a fun afternoon coming up of live coverage from there as well. Earl Ingram going to be broadcasting in his offsite location, but there's rumors that one of Asgo's Wisconsin, Kristen Bryan, may be joining Todd Alba this afternoon. We've also got Jason Ray, who's the DNC secretary, going to be joining the Maggie Dawn Show, along with Tanya Atkinson, who is the president of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. So ton of stuff to still cover throughout this final day of the convention, and you want to stay tuned to Civic Media all day long to get that info.
So much to cover. All right, Mr. Mathers, thank you so much. And Greg Bach is pinch hitting for Jane. It's all Greg all the time from 10 to noon starting today for a couple of weeks.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Bach on air.
That's right.
Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great day.